Would you find the fifth chapter of the book of Romans? Romans chapter 5. I would beg you for everyone to be able to open their Bible there. We will do some responsive reading as we make our way through this chapter. I love this chapter. I love this chapter because I find in it the gospel of Christ. I find in it the love of God. I find in it salvation, hope, life, unity, identification, grace, redemption, obedience. I find in it the answer to death. I find in it the problem of the world. I find in it the solution to these problems and the solution to the world. And I love it. Paul taught us in the book of Corinthians that when we come to the table of the Lord, in effect, we're showing the Lord's death till he comes. This is the responsibility as we come to the table. We're recognizing the broken body by the bread, and we're recognizing the shed blood by the cup. And we are remembering that it was God's great love that sent Christ to die for our sin. We're reminded that it was our sin that put him on the cross. It was his love, of course, that kept him on the cross. But we're being reminded of the penalty that was paid by our precious Savior. As we come to commune with the table at the table of the Lord, it's a very humbling moment. Please do not sit there and approach the table without humility in your spirit. Pastor, I'm having a hard time slowing myself down right now. I'm having a hard time grabbing the moment in which we find ourselves. I believe if you will give yourself to the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, time we get to the end of it, you'll be there. I want this to be a spiritual experience for you. I want you to grasp within your spirit the relevance of what you are doing, the intimacy. Jesus himself said to you, I want you to come to my table, and I want to commune with you, and I want you to commune with me. And when you come to my table, I want you to be reminded of my great sacrifice, but I also want you to be reminded that I'm not in that grave. I'm coming back to get you pretty soon. Romans, don't turn, stay here, but Romans chapter 1. The Bible opens up with a contrast between life and wrath, righteousness and unrighteousness, the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells the Gentile man and woman that he is lost and undone in need of a Savior. Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul turns his attention to the Jew who thought himself to be higher than the Gentile. And Paul says to the Jew, oh yeah, by the way, you need to be saved too. When you get to chapter number 3, Paul took the Gentile and he took the Jew and he lumped the whole world together. And he said, the whole world has become guilty of God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every man born of woman and every man and woman born of woman needs to be saved. The whole world is guilty. The question is, if we find ourselves in guilt, how do we find salvation? Chapter number 4 declares it to be by faith. And he talks about Abraham. He ends chapter 4 in verse number 25 by taking us to the Lord Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And I want to go through this fifth chapter and just read it and let it prepare our hearts. Please read every word with me. This is the living word of God. Let it filter through your eyes. When I need you to read out loud, I'll ask you to, okay? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have... Would you say those three words? Peace with God. So many times when I go in and visit somebody on their deathbed and I'm not sure that they're a Christian, here's what I ask them. Do you have peace with God? Sometimes they agree, sometimes they don't agree. Pastor, is it possible to have peace with God? My friend, it is possible to have peace with God, but there's only one way you get that. Look, if you would, at the end of that verse. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a statement. If you have peace with God tonight, would you say amen?
Amen.
I hope you know in your heart you have peace with God. Peace with God doesn't mean that God's okay with you or God understands you or all this. Peace with God means that the enmity that you had toward God, the enmity in your sin, has been covered by the blood of Christ. Verse number 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What a joy it is to know the hope of the gospel. What a joy it is to know the hope of Christ. What a joy it is to rejoice in standing in the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience or character, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. My friend, this verse is for anybody here tonight that's in tribulation. This is for the person tonight that has problems, difficulties. Tribulation is working patience and character in your life. It's bringing about a hope in the Lord. It's bringing about a glory in God. You say, Pastor, I got so many problems right now. I'm not even sure that I can come to the table of the Lord tonight. I got some tribulation in my life. I'm twisted a little bit here or there. Understand. But this is your opportunity to come to the Lord and lay those burdens down. This is your opportunity to let Him know that you trust Him and that you believe upon Him. Give them to Him. And let the love of God just kind of warm your heart and shed abroad in through your heart. Verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Let me just ask you a question. Do you understand that there was a time in your life when you were considered ungodly? You can't be godly until you're first ungodly. I'll say that again. Nobody in this room has ever been godly until you're first ungodly. What do you mean by that, Pastor? In order for me to know godliness, I've had to reckon my ungodliness prior to Christ. That verse right there will do away with good works, earning your way to heaven. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Pastor, why would God die for the ungodly? Verse number 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. We understand that. Would you read verse number 8 out loud with me? But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just let that flow through your eyes and your brain a minute. But God commendeth His love toward me, and that while I was yet a sinner, you could read it that way, Christ died for me. Boy, that'll make you love God. Much more then, verse number 9, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from, say that word, wrath through Him. Whose wrath is He talking about there? Come to Romans chapter 1, if you would, please. Hold your hand here. We're coming back. Pick up in verse number 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of, say His name, God. Pastor, God has wrath? Oh, my friend, God has holy wrath that one day will be unleashed against sin. That wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There will be a day when sin will be, the sinful man will know the wrath of God. Now come back, if you would, to Romans chapter 5 and look at verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from, you could say, his wrath through Christ. If you know salvation and you know the Lord and you've been saved from wrath, that ought to make you say amen. Think about the humbleness that makes me run to this table and commune with God in my spirit, that I was at a point where I was under the wrath of God being revealed against me and my unrighteousness, but God loved me and died for me while I was yet a sinner. Praise his holy name. Verse number 10, for if when we were enemies, enemies, Pastor? Yeah. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What do you mean enemy? There was a time when I was at enmity with God. Now listen, God has never been at enmity with you. God loves the world. God loves lost people. God is a God of love. But my sinfulness brought me to a position of enmity against God. And I in my sin was his enemy. And he died for me, his enemy, that I could know eternal life. Wow. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have, what's that little word? Now received the atonement. If you stand atoned now, would you say amen? What a delight. Read verse number 12 out loud with me. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now this is where your pastor says, man took us into sin, man has to take us out. One man, sin entered into the world through one man. His name is Adam. He's the federal head of the human race. When sin entered into the world, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. So as sin entered into the world, death entered into the world. There would be no death if there were no sin. Why do men die, Pastor? Because of sin. Why do all men die? Why is the death sentence on everybody? Because all have sinned. Verse number 13. He gives an illustration here. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So even though there was no law back in Adam's day, men was still held responsible and evident as sinners because they were dying. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, say his name, hath abounded unto many. Oh, man. Paul says, now listen, the offense of one man brought sin into the world. But the way that one man brought sin into the world, through one man came grace into the world. And where one man brought into us death sentence, the other man has brought us life. By the way, that one name that can bring us the gift of grace is mentioned there. We're coming to his table tonight. It's the Lord Jesus. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, say those next three words, please, they which receive, They which receive. I need to stop you right there. Here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, through one man's offense, death has reigned. It reigns over humanity as the sick evil that it is. However, there is life in the abundance of grace to those which have received. Now watch this, verse 17. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, say his name. So the table of the Lord tonight is for those who have received Christ. This is imperative that you understand this. It's one thing to know about the Lord. It's another thing to have intellectual understanding. But it's a whole nother thing to receive him by faith. I trust you have received the Lord. He sums it up in verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now understand your position. You and I were born in condemnation. That means we were not born good and became evil. That means we were born sinful and continue evil. So when I was born from my mother's womb on February 12th, 1973, even as I was conceived, and I don't know the date on that, I was conceived in iniquity and I was born in condemnation. Why? Because the one man that had brought sin into the world was the federal head of the human race, and his nature was in the human race. Not only was I born a sinner because I possessed a sinful nature, and the evidence that I possessed a sinful nature was that I sinned. I'm guilty on all accounts. You were born this way. You must understand, you were born spiritually damned. Because of Adam and because of our own guilt. But God loved you. And God sent another Adam, not tainted by sin, the second Adam, the God-man, who has the power to bring me out of condemnation into eternal life. One man took us in. One man takes us out. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Would you read the rest of that verse out loud with me, please? But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise the Lord. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have eternal life through Christ, say amen. Amen. The table's for you. Come to it humbly. Come to it recognizing what God's great love. Come to it recognizing Christ's great sacrifice. Come to it recognizing holiness in your life. Come to it recognizing responsibility in our lives to be right with God. Come to it honestly tonight. And as you take of the bread and you hold it while the instruments are playing, you're supposed to personally bow your head and thank God for his great love. Repent of any sin that you know of in your life. Make sure your life is in obedience with God. We'll take of the bread corporately together after we pray, and then the cup will come out. And as the cup comes out, Linda Molina is going to sing a song. designed to help us remember the sacrifice of the shed blood of Christ. That ought to make you want to love the Lord and serve the Lord. He died for you. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Men of God, gather please. Let's have our prayer. Let's have the table of the Lord.